going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Everybody! All right, folks, 11 a.m., enjoy responsibly. It's a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Right now, time to get to the Rude guest hotline. Rude is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic, covers the draft, works with Dane Brugler, does it all, man. Nick, what's up, dude? You get any sleep?
How are we doing, guys? Yeah, a little bit, like 4 hours. But I think we're doing okay, more or less. Yeah, on we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's about what we got to. We're not used to the burgundy gold picking so late, dude. It's a whole new world
I know,
for
right?
us. Dude,
I'll take it, though.
Adam Peters actually joked about it. He's like, man, these East Coast drafts go late because it's only his second draft
first world
here.
Problems now for yeah. Washington, yeah.
Well, last year he drafted second, so he didn't have to worry about it.
Right.
Exactly. Let's start at the top because we've been so focused on the Connerly pick. Ward going one was no surprise. What'd you make of the Cleveland-Jacksonville trade?
Yeah, I thought that was terrific, quite frankly. And, you know, we had a story in The Athletic this morning. Mike Silver wrote about how that was agreed to like 3 weeks ago, and they actually kept it pretty quiet all the way through. And more than that, though, I thought it was a home run for both teams. Jacksonville, you know, is closer talent-wise to being a competitive team that can get into the playoffs than I think people realize. And, you know, they obviously felt the need to, hey, we're going to go get the best player in this draft, make a splash, make that happen. I thought that was a good decision for them starting off a new regime like that. They get a phenomenal talent in Travis Hunter. And then on the flip side, I thought it was even better for the Browns to do that. I mean, there's not another team in the NFL that needs more draft picks right now than Cleveland. All the stuff that they missed, you know, during the Deshaun Watson mess. So it was a terrific, terrific trade, I thought, for both sides, and one of those rare ones that's kind of a slam dunk on either side. I don't know if you could say one team, you know, won it and one team lost it. I think both teams kind of won that one.
And then as you go further down here, what'd you make of Loveland going ahead of Tyler Warren in the the tight end situation? That one was the first kind of surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a much closer debate than a lot of people realized. You know, TE1 and tight end 2, and those guys were kind of neck and neck the whole way. But I do like how it worked out. I think that Loveland is a better fit for the Bears and what they want to do than Tyler Warren would be. You know, the biggest comp that you hear about Colson Loveland is kind of a taller version of Sam Laporta, who Ben Johnson obviously had there in Detroit, and, you know, they did such great things together for those 2 years. I think Loveland is a lot more like that than Warren is. And with how the Bears are going to run offense, they're going to use a lot of two tight ends, and they're going to let him run all over the place. I think that's a terrific fit for Chicago. And then at the same time, I think it worked out for Indy to get Tyler Warren. I mean, he is a Dallas Clark clone who everyone there, you know, should be very familiar with.
He wears the same number.
wears the same number and all that stuff, too. You know, I think they're going to use him more as a blocker. I think he's got a higher, you know, higher range there as a blocker too, a higher ceiling, we'll say. So it was a little bit weird, but also I don't think it shocked too many people in the league because, you know, the fit there made a lot of sense for both sides. And I don't think it would have made as much sense if you flipped it around.
That was a run of O-linemen and defensive linemen going last night. Do you see that continuing, or are you going to see some other positions begin to go in the next, in the early second round?
Yeah, I think you'll still see a lot of defensive linemen go. This was a terrific defensive tackle class, a pretty deep edge class also, and there's still some pretty good ones on the board. You know, Donovan Ezeraku is one that stands out, you know, towards the top of the draft here. But really, there's going to be a lot of defensive backs, I think. You know, Will Johnson is still on the board. Nick Emanwari is still on the board. Xavier Watts as well. There's a ton of good safeties, a bunch of really good corners. Siobhan Revel as well. So a lot of guys, you know, Johnson was, you know, 4 or 5 months ago a top 15 player in this draft, and injury concerns and everything else had him fall. So that could be terrific value for anybody there at the top of the second round. So I think a lot of defensive backs and defensive tackles we'll see today.
Siobhan played only 3 games last year, but still has high markings. How good would he be for somebody to get and then get him back healthy?
I think that would be a terrific pick. I mean, I think it would be great value for a guy that, you know, the thing about him is he played at a small school, right, obviously, and you said it. I mean, he only got to play the 3 games, and he just disappeared because he got hurt, and everybody kind of forgot, you know what I mean? Like, I think that that sort of happens sometimes to those small school guys when they go out of sight, out of mind, and then you can't work out, you know, for the rest of the year because you're rehabbing. And so any questions that teams might have, you know, it goes away. But I think if you go back into his tape from 2 years ago or a year before last, it's outstanding. So if you can get him back to healthy again, you know, this is another one of those guys that kind of like the Josh Simmons kid from Ohio State, the tackle. Look, if he hadn't gotten hurt, he would have clearly been a top probably 20 player in this class and a guy that would have, you know, been great value. And somebody could get him at the bottom of the second round today, you know, or somewhere in there. That would be a terrific pick for them.
We're talking with Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Nick Baumgartner, Baumgardner. Nick joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. I'm checking out. You already got analysis up on every pick from last night, looking ahead to who's available tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's so much going on and so many players still to come. It's so premature to try to grade to try to analyze a complete draft just on the first round because there's so much talent left, like you said. A couple specific picks from last night I wanted to ask you about because I still believe – there's going to be a lot of player trades to come. You know, I go back to it was day two of the draft when Trent Williams got traded. It didn't happen Thursday. It happened Friday. I'm looking at Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M edge rusher with all the tools and no production, and well, that's fine. Maybe he'll prove to be a really great pro. Goes to the Bengals at 17. What do you think about that pick, and what do you think that does for a guy like Trey Hendrickson?
Well, I think that's a great pick, and I think exactly for, you know, if you can put him opposite Henderson in a year like this and not ask him to be necessarily, you know, if they decide to keep him, you know, I guess one way or the other, but if you could put him opposite a star and not ask him to be the, you know, dominant edge as a rookie that is, you know, doing everything right away, because it is going to take some time for him to sort of round out his game. But I really like that pick a lot. I think that's kind of a developmental pick to a degree. Reminded me a lot of Rashawn Gary when he came out with Green Bay, where it was a little bit of a slow start, but it, you know, pretty quickly once he figured it out, he took off. I think that he's very similar in that vein. Like, he did not play his best football at Texas A&M that we're going to see in the NFL, and it's not because of lack of effort or anything else. It was just he's a raw prospect who was still sort of growing into his body, still trying to figure out, you know, more or less where he was best deployed, kind of on that defensive line. They also had a really deep defensive line at A&M, so he rotated a lot more than a lot of other guys that normally would. I think that could be a really high upside pick for a guy that went 17 overall that had top 10 traits in this class. Like, Stewart was one of the rare guys I felt like on the board, maybe among 12 to 10 guys that probably had true first-round grades, just because, you know, 40-inch vert at 6'5", 270, 4'5", 940, I think it was. Just elite length, everything else. Like, there's not a single Trayvon Walker, Rashawn Gary. That's what he reminds me of, like a blend of those two guys. Both of those guys needed a little bit of time, but in time, they made it work. And I think that Shamar, you know, you saw him on the stage last night, too. He looked pretty ticked off, quite frankly. So I think he's ready to go. And that seemed like it was a good sign to me. And I think if he listens to coaching and takes it well, he could be a really, really good player here pretty soon.
I think that's something a lot of those guys can learn. You know, you may not have gone where you thought you would go, but you still get the opportunity to go on the team, and you can open up some eyes once you get there.
Absolutely. I mean, a guy like that, especially, let it motivate you, right? Like, let it, you know, you went out to the combine and you killed it. And I think for a guy like that, you're probably also frustrated that people didn't get to see everything that maybe you think you have in a heavy rotation in college. So, you know, I love it when guys enter the league ready to prove something and ready to prove to everybody who passed on them that that was a mistake. And I think he's one of those kids.
And then specific to, all right, so they draft an edge rusher here. It was my understanding leaving owners' meetings in Florida that the Bengals didn't really plan on or want to trade Hendrickson, and that they were going to just get to training camp and see if he would actually really hold out. Have you heard anything different there? Do you think drafting Stewart impacts a Hendrickson trade?
I don't know. I don't know if it would or wouldn't, because, again, like we said, I don't think you can bring Shamar Stewart in and say, okay, he's going to replace Trey Henderson tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to get 17 sacks.
Yeah, that's not realistic. So I think that if I'm the Bengals, and I think that this is kind of what it's been, I think that they're probably still listening, and they'll probably continue to do that. But I think at this point, like you said, I mean, I think that they'll probably try to call his bluff and see what happens here. And if they make it work for another year or whatever it may be, you know, that might be what it is. But, yeah, I don't think that Stewart necessarily is that. Now, if they go and get another edge, you know, that would be, you know, later today or something. Maybe that's another conversation. But I don't think you can put Shamar in there immediately and just expect him to be, you know, a full-on replacement for what you're losing with Hendrickson. So they're going to have to be a little creative with that one. I don't know if that's a shot-for-shot replacement. I'd like the pairing if they can make that work. I think that would be a great pairing. And in time, you absolutely could move on from Hendrickson and have another guy ready to go. And Shamar Stewart, possibly.
Three skill position players. Abuka goes 19 to the Bucks. Hampton goes 22 to the Chargers. And then Matthew Golden, for the first time in 100 years, the Packers selected a wideout in the first round. Personally, I think Hampton with Harbaugh and the Chargers makes just the most sense. I'm curious, of those three skill position guys, which one you think is kind of the best pick, best fit, all of that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think Hampton to the Chargers was almost like a no-brainer. It felt I think they were on the phone with maybe Philly or somebody trying to, you know, that wanted to trade that pick, and they ended up just saying, no, we're going to stick here and take this guy. I think he's a terrific fit for everything Harbaugh does. I know a lot of people wondered if they would still go running back in this class because they drafted or they signed Najee Harris, but I think that that's actually a really good pairing. I think Hampton will be the one that's, you know, pretty quickly there. You know, he was a guy that in 2023 outperformed Ashton Jeanty. I mean, he was right there, you know, in terms of yards after contact, and he was the second highest guy in the country last year with missed tackles for. So he's a terrific player, three down weapon. I thought he was warranted of the first round grade. A lot of teams had on him, and a guy that should fit everything that Harbaugh wants to do. The other two guys there, I love Egbuka and I love Matthew Golden, and I think it's cool that Green Bay finally took a receiver, but I did feel like that might have been a little overkill in both of those spots. Like, Tampa still needs a ton on defense. I was a little surprised to see them go receiver there with everything else they have, and same kind of thing with Green Bay. They, you know, they could use another receiver, but they already have some guys. So, you know, I think that both those teams want to score points. They want to spread the ball around. You look at both their coaches, that's what they're all about, and I think that they're really good fits. It was just kind of one of those things that did surprise me a little bit because I thought maybe they would go a different direction.
Do you think that was the pick because Watson stays hurt?
Could be. You know, it could be. And I think Golden is one of those guys that in a division like the North there for the Packers, and I think they said it on one of the broadcasts last night, like you need to score points in that division. Like everybody in that division has an offense, including Chicago, who will be much better, you know, once Caleb continues to grow with Ben Johnson. So you have to be able to score and score quickly, and it can't just be, you know, long drive after long drive. And I think that, you know, that was one thing Green Bay didn't quite have. And Golden is, you know, for some people, he was the best receiver in the class. Some people had him ahead of Tet McMillan just because of the ridiculous speed and ability to win in the air that he has. So very exciting player and very young as well.
All right. The Giants trade up for a quarterback. It's Jackson Dart, not Shedeur Sanders. I think for folks that have been paying attention the last week, 2 weeks, that kind of became what most people thought would happen if there was a trade up. Still, I think there was some surprise when Pittsburgh passed on Sanders. And then I think to the larger football audience that maybe isn't as involved in the granular day-to-day of the draft, there was real shock that New York took Dart ahead of Sanders. What was your surprise level, and what do you make of that big move by Big Blue?
Yeah, not really surprised at all. It really did seem like you said, I mean, they've gone over all this stuff as exhaustive as you could possibly do it. They met with Sanders a ton. They met with all these guys a ton, the Giants, that is. And at the end of the day, none of it made sense to me that he was going to be a fit with the Giants for a number of different reasons, certainly not at three. And then the other part of it, too, that is a factor here is Deion and all of the media attention that they create around him, fair or not, right or wrong, whatever you want to call it. I don't think that was going to go well with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, two guys that are on the hot seat trying to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's to a degree they you know looked at this set and said, hey, we think him and Dart are pretty close. It's going to be a lot less drama with Jackson Dart, fair or not. And I think that might have been the tiebreaker. Like, I was surprised that Pittsburgh didn't do it. And I almost wonder if a team like that would try to make a move to go get him today. Because I'm not so sure that Cleveland will do it at the top. I mean, I picked him or I mocked him there at the top of the draft, but it wouldn't surprise me if they don't do it either. Because I do think that there's something to be said about you're going to need to have a very strong personality as a head coach.
Yes.
Like, I think the Jets could do it with Aaron Glenn. Like, a guy that Deion is going to respect and leave him alone, because I like Shedeur Sanders. I think he's a good player. I think he could turn into a functioning starter in this league. But if his dad is going to be involved in all this other stuff that they just refuse to stop is going to be a thing, then nobody wants any part of it, especially teams that don't have a strong personality leading the franchise. That's why the Steelers have made so much sense to a lot of people, because Tomlin's just not going to deal with that. And everybody knows it. And I think Deion would probably back off if Tomlin told him to back off, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I like his fit with teams like that, teams that have some talent that they can work with him and give him some time and not rush him. But I hated his fit with teams that are still kind of directionless and don't have a lot of talent and are kind of weak at the top. It would have been a total nightmare. So I think the NFL kind of got it right with him. He did not help himself. His people didn't help him. He did not help himself over the past 4 months, not working out, skipping the Shrine Bowl, sort of acting like he was above it all. That's not what anybody wants from a quarterback in the NFL, no matter who your dad is.
It's going to be really interesting with Shedeur, because the NFL, above all else, is a self-preservation league. And I think for the Giants, man, Shane and Daboll are watching, or they're protecting their neck. And
yep.
Mm-hmm.
But they better win now.
I know. That's the other part.
I mean, like, do what you want to do, but if you don't win now, you're gone for sure.
The part people ignore is that, yo, what if Shedeur comes in and just helps you win? And then everything's a lot easier. It's going to be really interesting to watch. Let's talk your opinion on Connerly. Washington takes a big tackle prospect at the end of the first round. There's a lot of excitement around him. Clearly, their offensive line got better with the addition. What'd you make of it?
I think that's great value where they got him. You know what I mean? I think that was there were some tackles that went above him that I did not have Kelvin Banks above him. I think he's a really, really good football player with a lot of a future ahead of him, I think is really what it is. Because he's still got some rawness to his game, but there's really not a better athlete, like a full-on athlete at tackle right now in this draft than Connerly. I think he might be the best overall athlete. If you watch him move, if you watch how he bends, everything else, like it's just nothing but – you get him in around an NFL offensive line coach and really, you know, get to work. I think he could iron out a lot of the technique issues and the consistency issues that come and go with him. But once he finds his rhythm and figures it out in the NFL, like I think he could be a left tackle or a right tackle. I mean, shoot, I think if you needed him to play guard, he could do it. Like he's a very versatile, very quick and athletic and explosive.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And all the things that you look for in a guy with a good length and all that stuff too. So Connerly was a polarizing kid for a lot of people this year because, you know, a lot of teams, I think, at the top of the board would have loved to be in on him, but it's kind of like, can we wait, you know, on a tackle? Can we hide him? You know, can we get away with that? But a team like Washington, I think they probably can. And I think that, like you said, their offensive line definitely got better, and I think he's got the ability to be a guy who starts for a long time.
What do you think Washington lean to today?
I like them going on defensive line, maybe an edge, maybe a defensive tackle. You know, the one thing with them last year that stung more than anything, it seemed to be, was run defense. And I feel like they've got an opportunity here now that they got the tackle address that they can, you know, attack that defensive front position. But also, wouldn't rule out a receiver. I feel like another offensive weapon for Daniels could also be really cool here. Like, there's some explosive guys out there, even a running back maybe, if you wanted to go that way, a guy who could move around a little bit. So I would start with the front, but it wouldn't shock me if they try to take a playmaker as well.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of looking at Ezeraku, Oladejo, mm-hmm. Higgins.
Oladejo, I like him, yeah.
Higgins and Caleb Johnson are guys they had in the building for these top 30 visits. And if you, the more we start to learn about this Adam Peters-led front office, they seem to really like these top 30 visits. It's not always going to work,
yeah.
But a lot of them did. Connerly was here, you know?
Yep, yep. Yeah, I think that Oladejo would be a great fit. I also think Higgins, too. Like, that would be a really good compliment there for Jaden.
First QB off the board tonight.
Yeah, I do think it's Shadur. I don't know if it'll be Cleveland at the top of the second, but I do think he's the next guy off. I think that, like I said for a long time, I think he was closer to Jackson Dart than he was to Cam Ward, and I think it's kind of splitting hairs with those two. So I think he's QB3, and then I think Milroe won't be too far off, or Tyler Shuck as well, I think, will be in there behind. But I think we'll see more quarterbacks go today because I think those guys are all solid players. Like, that's the thing. It's not a bad quarterback class. It's just not an elite one. And I think that that's what we'll probably end up seeing today.
Nick, thanks for the time,
appreciate
man.
You,
really appreciate it, dude.
Absolutely. You bet, fellas. Anytime.
All right. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Give him a follow at Nick Baumgartner. Joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. We're going to open these phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What do you think of the Commanders going tackle in round one? And what do you want to see tonight?
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Don't miss your chance to bet on all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is your best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I want to see Landfill in some animal print pants.
Yeah, buddy.
NFL draft's going on.
Buddy.
Caps game 3 against Montreal tonight in Canada. Mm-hmm. Coming up at noon, we're going to Oregon. James Crepea covers the Ducks. We're going to talk to him about what Washington's getting in Josh Connerly. 12:30, we're going to talk to Carl Alsner, former Capital and current Monumental Sports Network analyst, about the matchup tonight for the Caps in the Bell Center. That place is going to be buzzing. But right now, we're taking your calls, 800-636-1067. What'd you think of the pick? I want to start with the boys in the aquarium. It's been a busy morning. Haven't been able to talk to them yet. Let's go with Jeffrey. Good morning, Jeff. My name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff. What up, JP?
How you feeling, dude? Got another tackle.
Yo, I'm actually excited about it, JP. I didn't know much about the guy when we first picked him, but I was like, all right, let me go do some research about him, because one thing I learned, Adam Peters, he makes decisions after a lot of research. Like, he's set on it. Like, he goes in with intent on what he's going to do. So I went to look. I love the pick, JP. In 2 years, he's given up 2 sacks. He has not missed no games to injuries. How can we not love what's going on here? We got somebody that's going to protect Jaden. And I don't know what people was watching, but, you know, in the NFC Championship game, our line was in the backfield a lot on run plays. It's not supposed to be like that.
You got that.
So
right.
I'm loving the pick. And like I said, I'm trusting AP. And one thing I do want to say, JP, to all the people out there, especially the deep in them Twitter trenches, them X trenches, hey, if you're going to trust AP, you got to trust him with everything. You can't just trust him when it's a name you know or a name you looked at, because this guy was brought here to build a team. And after the results we had last year, it's no way you can, you know, not trust with the way he's moved. Of course, have your own thoughts, your own mind, but it's hard to be critical when he has done in this little time that he's been here. And we can't measure it all up as success right now, but he has had some success from what we have seen in the past couple of years.
You know what happens a lot of times, Jeff? People, they go out and they start promoting all this stuff, and then when he goes against what they said, they have to act like that. They know more than him. You don't.
Dude.
I was talking to Logan last night, and Logan talked. You know how much stuff Logan looks at. Logan started talking about the people he talked to and how much stuff they look at. He said, what I realized, B-Mitch, is nobody knows anything, to be honest with you.
Totally.
It's a ton of stuff out there, man.
Well, I also think, I think there is some East Coast bias at play. Not a ton of Commanders fans probably watch a ton of Oregon games. Maybe that's changed a little with them being in the Big Ten, but those games are on late as hell.
Yeah. They got a lot of highlights.
I also think, dude, more to that point about highlights specifically, B, like, everybody wants to talk about O-line and building the O-line, but then when you actually draft an O-lineman and there aren't dope highlight plays you could watch on Instagram, like, it's one of those things that it's like you're all about it till it happens, and then you're like, damn, man, I wanted a running back. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, there's this rewiring of fans' brains to want skill position guys.
Let me just give people a little hint here. When you're looking at ESPN or Fox Sports One, whatever you look at, and you see a running back running down the field, or you see a quarterback throw this deep pass, do yourself a favor and go back. Since everybody say they watch the All-21 anyway, go back and get to the offensive line and look at that to see what sparked or ignited that big play. Then maybe you'll learn a little bit something more about football instead of just thinking the quarterback, receiver, and the running back just made the play by themselves. Look at the beginning of the play. See the defense, watch what the O-line does, and see who does the key block. And then you'll start realizing when people – that's why last night when they were showing all the – when they drafted the offensive lineman, what did they show? A lot of big plays, but they highlighted that offensive lineman first to show you this is why that play worked.
All right, I'm going to let these folks get on them phones. Let's start with our guy, Juke. Juke, what'd you make of the pick, man?
Hey, what's going on, JP, B-Mitch? How y'all fellas feeling?
Good, buddy.
I'm good. Look, if AP like it, I love it. And like Jeff said, we have no right or reason to be questioning anything AP do. And even if any of these players they pick don't hit, we still don't have no right or reason. Because, again, name one GM that hit 100% of all the players they pick. With that being said, you see what the Giants did picking up Carter. Each team in our division got dogs in their defensive line, so we got to be able to combat that. And now with this pickup, that helps us have more better quality O-line depth with possibly moving Allegretti in the back when Cosby gets back, depending on how they situate everybody. On top of that, what I like to see them do is, remember last year, Diaz got hurt, and when he couldn't go, our O-line suffered. Now, if all four of these guys outside of Biadas are studs and he goes out again this year, maybe they can help reduce that drop-off in the O-line play. So I'm liking what they're doing. I'm thinking possibly to go edge, running back, and maybe kicker with the rest of the picks if they don't trade back and get more picks. But I'm liking what they're doing, fellas. That's all I got for y'all.
Appreciate you, Droop. Thank you, buddy. Nick Saban. I was thinking.
Now, what's that dude that he just said?
That's tough. Our boy Drew is calling from the Eastern Shore,
man.
Drew, what do you think of the pick?
So I was surprised, you know, that they didn't trade back. But I'm always okay when they draft in the trenches and draft the O-line. You know, I was thinking about it, and last year before free agency, right, in 2024, we were like, our O-line is terrible, really need to upgrade. And if you look just in just two free agencies and two drafts, now we have seven guys on the O-line, you know, assuming Cosme comes back healthy and Connerly works out, that all could be legit starters, and maybe a couple could be Pro Bowl. So, you know, we talk about building the trenches. That's pretty quick to turn what we had to what we got. So I'm excited.
Yep. Totally.
Based on what Drew said, if you look at what was there when they rolled in and what's there now, the projections of what's there now, you have to see that things got better. You know, it's not what it was. It's gotten better.
Well, and think about the ages if it works out this way. Obviously, Tunsil's the veteran. He's 31. It's not like he's 41. If Coleman ends up at left guard, he's 24. Biotis is 27. Sam Cosmi's 26. Connerly's 21 if he's at right tackle. A lot to like, man.
Young buck.
Shane is in Oxon Hill. Shane, what'd you think of the pick?
Man, I love the pick. Actually, the first guy, Jupe, I think he said what I wanted to say as far as, you know, just getting ready for the teams in the division. You know, they all have great D lines. And like you said, man, anytime that we struggled against a team last year, I felt as though it was because our O-line wasn't able to hold up. But going off that, I think they made a great selection just based off their board. I don't think they're just talking about it, because if you look at the board, a lot of the edges that we thought were going to go in the first round actually slid. So with that being said, I think they looked at the board and said, well, shoot, we can still get a good edge in the second, because the way the board played out, they're still available, like Ezeraku, the guy from Arkansas, State guy, JT Tuamalu.
Jack
Sawyer.
You got
Nick, the safety from South Carolina. So, you know, I just felt as though they looked at the board and seen a lot of edges sliding and thought that, you know, it wasn't a pressing need at the moment in the first round, seeing as the way that the board played out and that the draft was, you know, unfolding in front of them. You know what I'm saying? So I think we still have time to add great players like Luther Burden maybe, or, you know, even if we want to go edge, like I said, a lot of them guys slid. So that's just my thought process in it, man. You know, a lot of them guys are still on the board for us to have.
It's a great call. Thank you, Shane.
Process too.
Well, and Peter said, he's like, every time we look at an opportunity, we look at 10, 15 picks.
They looked at the board and said, well, shoot,
we look at 10, 15 picks around there. You know what I mean? It's not just about what can happen right now, but if we did go back, what could happen in 9 picks? And I think you gotta recognize the delta in value of what your draft board shows versus what you could get.
There you go.
Phone lines remain open, 800-636-1067. We're going to Oregon at noon to talk to a Ducks reporter about what Washington's getting in Connerly. Nobody go anywhere.
Unbelievable person. Good, great teammate for anything, an amazing player on the field, someone that's going to make sure their quarterback stays upright and opens up lanes for anybody else. So, yeah.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, taking your calls, what do you think about the Josh Connerly pick?
In the house tonight.
My boy Vinny's in Seat Pleasant. Vince, what do you think, buddy?
What's going on, my guys? How you feeling today? Man, hail to the Commander. Hey, to be honest, what move other than something with Jaden Daniels is a bad move? I mean, I think this is a great move. I really do. I think it's a great move. Us having someone to be able to protect Jaden's front and his back, and then be able to kick my man Coleman in the inside. I mean, come on, man. That changes the offensive game plan. They changes the passing game. It opens up more things for the deep ball. I love it, man. I like the way Carly handled his own over in that Big Ten. Oregon's competition is great, man. Oregon's competition over there is real stout. And he did what he's supposed to do, came into the combine, did his thing. I'm going with Adam all day long. Adam is a very intelligent, smart guy. And I think that, you know, Connerly was a great pick. I can't wait to see him. All hail to the Commanders. Love all y'all. Appreciate y'all taking my call. And all hail, baby. Let's go.
All right, Brent.
Great call. Cool, thanks, brother. Vinny. There's a lot to like with this pick, man. And we talk about their chase at Philly, right? What has Philly had probably for the last 7, 8, probably maybe close to a decade. What has Philly had? The best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
And there are, it's a lot harder to have consistent, dominant defense than it is to keep a consistent, really good, explosive offense.
Let's remember this.
There's just volatility in defensive statistics. That's just a fact.
Most people don't like to look at history at all. They just think everything happens once they came about. This football team was perennial for 10 straight years. You know what was consistent? The O-line.
Totally.
They ran it, they threw it, and you know what their defense was when they went on the field? Fresh.
Right.
It can help out a lot.
Our guy Rusty's in Delaware. Rusty, what do you think of the pick, dude?
Fellas, good morning. How are you?
We're good, buddy.
Hey, I love the pick. I mean, you know me. I'm an offensive lineman. I'm an offensive lineman coach. Are you guys familiar with the term crashing out that these kids use? I'm going to crash out.
Go ahead.
So we had some of the kids over last night from the football team to watch the draft, and we made it to 29. We were all kind of in a daze. But my son wanted the kid from Michigan to go with Mikey. And when they didn't pick him, he kind of crashed out. And I said, well, let's jump over to the Facebook page and see what B-Mitch has got to say. And we watched B-Mitch and Logan talk about how awesome this kid is, how versatile this kid is. And I think anytime you get a chance to protect your franchise quarterback, you got to take it. So I love the pick. And tonight, I really want Jack Sawyer on our team. I think you guys had mentioned that the other day.
I like Sawyer.
I hope that's the guy that they go after tonight. So I'd love to see him in burgundy and gold.
Thank you, Rusty. Appreciate you listening. I like Sawyer, but I also like JTT, the other edge rusher for Ohio State. I like Josiah Stewart from Michigan. There's a lot of edge left in this thing. I'm going in chronological order, so don't be offended. Mama Stu, haven't heard from you in a while.
Mama Stu, where you been?
You like to pick?
I love the pick, guys. You know, work be working, life be life. I love you guys. Happy Friday to you. I love the pick. At first, I was shocked. I'm not even going to lie to you because I thought, you know, maybe they would trade back. But when I was asked about what I thought that they were going to do, I said, well, you know what? I think that they're going to go with the best available player. They're going to go with their guy. And I'm happy that they went with their guy. You have a guy back there at quarterback that is your asset. Like, you want to protect your assets. And one of the things I thought we needed to do above anything else was get deep in the line on both sides of the ball. So now we have a nice security blanket. We got some longevity. We're thinking about the future. Everything that Adam had said he was going to do from the gate as far as supplement, you know, through the free agency and add to the draft. So we're building, and I love what we're doing. So tonight I hope that they do get an edge rusher, but at the end of the day, whatever he does, after what he did last year and his proven track record, I'm with it. I'm all in with AP, BQ, Josh. Let's get it.
All right.
Thank you, Mama. Great call. Appreciate you. I got a confession. Left hand up. Mm-hmm. I like the way Mama Stu says assets.
But I was thinking, when she said it, whether it's a set or a cess, you got to protect them. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Landini, we haven't heard from you, brother. What do you think of Josh Connerly?
I like it. You know, it's not all that exciting of a pick, but you need offensive linemen. I think Jupe was pointing out there were definitely times last year where they had a lot of injuries on the offensive line, and the offense was a lot worse those weeks. Now we've got more depth. Anytime you could take a guy who I think, you know, you felt was good enough to start for you last year and have him be one of your primary backups, I think that's a good thing.
I'm with you, man. Let's go to Elijah in D.C. What's up, Elijah? What'd you think of the move?
What's going on, fellas? I love the move. Mama Stu kind of took what I was thinking about. You know, buying a mansion, for example, putting Jaden Daniels here, or buying a Learjet or a Lamborghini is one thing. But the upkeep and how housing that thing and making sure that everything is correct and you make sure your grass is correct and everything is right. You know, it ain't no dirt roads. And I feel like Washington has done that in the past. and to see them be able to protect their assets and make things like, no, we want this to be better. They're able to look in the mirror and realize, okay, you may have a good offense or you may have a good defense, but if he gets two more, it's like racing. You know, everything's real close. Like, if he gets a half more second, or we plug this guy in, and now we have this athletic mold, because what you're doing is you're drafting potential, and you're drafting a mold or a cast that you can say, I can mold this cat into what I need him to be. He has the measurables. If you look at his stats, if you look at his combine numbers, you understand why. Because I'm talking about business decisions. You know what I'm saying? If a guy has to make a decision coming around the corner, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to run into this guy and have to slow down, or I have to backpedal, I have to think, you want to be advantageous. Now you don't know. Debo may get it. Now you cheating up. Oh, what? Terry's down it. So I think this can really happen. People talk about the picks. I'm looking for undrafted free agents. This is a long process to September, everybody. So we like, what are we going to do with these picks? Are we going to move back? With the type of potential to get faster at all these positions, don't be surprised if they're able to get somebody later in the draft that people kind of turn their nose up, because they understand measurables more than kind of like, I need to see you popping this way. If you can show me something on the tape so far as with raw potential, or you have the qualities that we need as a commander, we're going to come and get you. Then we can mold you to how we need. And teams, if you're going to see players going to flock, or people are going to want to be here, or the idea of what being here and working hard, you could tell it's going through the league, it's going through the fan base. We all excited. So just sit tight and understand why. Remember certain moments in games when we wished we had another guy that we could pencil in on game day to help be heavier when we get off the bus, especially off the offensive line. We know what's real. We know what's not. So let's keep this thing clear. Let's be true to the game. And that's what they're doing. I love it. He's being true to the game. He knows his squad. They know their coaches. They know what they're doing. So I can't wait to see, you know, when they get this stove really going and we see what's cooking, we get them pads popping.
We got a great call, Elijah. We got to bounce, brother.
I love y'all, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. All right, that's our guy, Elijah.
I'm excited, baby.
Yeah, dude, really excited. Can't wait to see what happens when the stove gets cooking. When we come back, we're going to Oregon, figure out just who Josh Connerly is. Nobody go anywhere.